Welcome to hour two of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Special day today with Jill Worabek with Mosby Building Arts. With me today, our design, kitchen, bathroom, cabinet guru I got here with me can help us through anything that you have going on with any of those topics. And of course, you've got, I can handle the house, the maintenance, the roof, the structure, whatever's happening. Feel free to give us a call, 314-436-7900. Remember, you can also text that same number too. So if you have a quick question you just want to kind of hear us chat about, we can do that also. Text to that same line, 314-436-7900. So we've got James on the line. So let's go straight to James and just see what's happening. How can we help you, James?
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. And Merry Christmas coming.
Hey, yes.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I live here on the hill. I've got a 101-year-old bungalow, and it has a full bathroom in there. I mean, it's a small one, you know, the shotgun-style homes and all.
Yep.
This isn't a shotgun style, but it's a small bathroom. And it's plaster and lathe wall, and then there's tile that's put right on to that plaster and left. And it being it's right next to the vanity or the sink in the bathroom, whatever's happened with moisture, that bond is coming apart, and the tile is starting to come loose, bulge. And as I poked on it a little bit, I think some of the plaster, whatever the material was, is crumbling in behind there. So I'm wondering, what can I do with a 100-year-old plaster and lath wall that the tile's coming off of?
Yeah, that is definitely a tough, difficult situation. Is the tile that came off, is it full tile? Is it still in good shape, or did it break?
It's still in good shape.
Okay, because you can try and kind of plaster patch where the tile was, in a good experience, which there's not, it's going to be hard to find a plaster repair that also has kind of worked with tile at the same time. Plaster repairs, a dying art. So kind of trying to work on or fix this mud set tile is also very much so a dying art, but and sometimes it might expand a little bit where if they're kind of digging it out, they might pop off a couple, two, three, or a whole section of tile, three, four, five, six tiles. Mm-hmm. And then you can try and kind of dig it out, clean it. And just like a plaster patch, you kind of patch that wall in that tiled area as nice to the level, as smooth as you can. And then you basically just reinstall the tile with the tile mortar and everything and grout it and just kind of patch that area. But you're looking to dig out the plaster back to the lath and then plaster patch it and then put that tile back. That can be done. The only other option is you're tearing out that entire bathroom, shower, everything.
Okay.
And starting from scratch, complete remodel. Yep.
Okay. I can appreciate that. It is a, there's an individual that lives in there. He's a bit challenged. And what I'm, you know, I can appreciate everything you're saying. I understand the difficulty of putting a tile back up. I was thinking about putting a stainless steel kick plate type of, you know, sheet metal or steel sheet to go up against that wall. And then that takes care of any issues of whatever caused these to come loose. I mean, if, you know, he was kicking into them accidentally or whatever the case may be. I can appreciate that. And what do you think about putting a stainless steel kick plate type of thing in there?
Is this down by the floor where it occurred? Is that why?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I mean, yeah, you could cover over that and just, yeah, mount that and kind of drill through the stainless steel and the tile and everything to mount it, glue it to the tiles that are still solid. You could do that too. So, I mean, there are ways to try and kind of, like they say, like that band, like it's an actual Band-Aid, like cover it up, do some, you could certainly try something like that. And I've seen a lot of bathroom remodeling projects where they put products over top of that tile. To me, that, I mean, you can get a bathroom remodeled by somebody that way and it will cost less. Most of the time when I see that, it's kind of a, it's just not a good quality. It doesn't look good. It's got a big cap on the top of it where the tile rounds back to the wall. It, to me, when I walk into a bathroom that's happened in, I know it's happened because of the level of the investment of gutting a room like that and starting over is very expensive, but I can see it and tell. And I think a lot of the population can look at that and just walk in and go, oh gosh, they put all this over top of all that kind of tile that probably went bad. And then they kind of know, like, I've got a job ahead of me if I buy this house. So that's why I usually try not to go to that, put something over top of the tile in the whole bathroom. But yes, if you're just trying to get by, some good solid stainless steel like that running around kind of as a base trim would probably work really well.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm right there with you and everything that you've just mentioned. And it is, I'm old. I'm 74 years old, and I'd like to be able to live here again or still for any number of years before I would move into a home.
Sure.
And then if I can fix it, I mean, a job worth doing is worth doing well. I learned that in, what, seventh, sixth grade or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want it to last. I don't want to, you know, go in there and put anything rotten or cheap or have it not done properly.
Yeah.
And I've been debating about calling you guys, and I'm glad. I really am.
Good.
I have a question about cabinetry, I guess, on a vanity.
Uh-huh.
This is, I mean, I've looked into the vanities, and there's a little cabinet underneath, and there's not a whole lot of space, and there's not a whole lot of closet space in these homes, or some of the homes here on the Hill. And is that something that Mosby Building Arts would be interested in coming and looking at? As I, you know, I'm going to get a couple of opinions as to what all's going on in that wall, but if it has to be remodeled, this is what you guys do, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and we will do, I mean, if a repair or a bathroom upgrade just involved a vanity, a sink, a faucet, we would literally just do that project. We don't have to remodel the entire bathroom.
Yes, sir.
We do all kinds of projects, big and small. Sometimes the smaller ones seem more expensive because of, like, kind of what you're doing and how you get there, and than doing like the whole thing, because it's just a portion of it, but it still has expense to it. But yes, we can look into any of that stuff. So yeah, I definitely invite you to give us a call, and we could take a look at that for sure. And we've got plenty of experts that do what I do, what Jill does, and we can figure out anything like that for you.
Great. Is it Mosby? I mean, Mosby.com, MosbyBuildingArts.com, or
you could do that, or you could do call Mosby, kind of like a phone call, CallMosby. You can give us a call at 314-909-1800. And something we were going to kind of talk about with Jill too, going through all this different kitchen and bathroom and cabinets and all this stuff, is we also have a promotion right now, like an end of the year promotion, give the gift of remodeling sale with some 5% off or some 12-month no payments. And so you can find that information online too, or you could just give us a call and talk about it. Now that does just go, you have to call in by the end of the year, get your appointment set by the end of the year, December 31st, for that promotion to take effect.
Great. Thank you. I
All
do
right.
have What I have in there also in that vanity is particle board that they made, and as it's gotten wet, it's expanded. And you know what happens, eventually it degrades. So I'm interested in the possibility of a vanity with a new sink in there too.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Right. And perfect then. The telephone number is 314-909-1800.
1-800. Yep.
1800. Perfect. I appreciate it, Rich and Joe. God bless. Have a Merry Christmas and a very safe Happy New Year and the holiday.
Yes.
You too. You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it very much. Hey, we're going to get into our quick break here. Jay, if you can hold the line, Jay and Rick, if you guys can hold on, we'll get to both of you as soon as we return. For everybody else, we'll have plenty in the next full hour all the way to 1 o'clock. So you can get on board as well. 314-436-7900 finds me and Jill today right here, Home Improvement Show. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show here. We are having a great time running through a lot with Jill. A lot of great calls and questions. A lot of great texts coming in as well.
Right.
Having a really good time. And, hey, if there's something you need, something you want from us, something, today's the day to get to Jill Worabek. If you have something with remodeling, interior questions, that sort of thing, jump in with us. 314-436-7900 is going to get you in right here. And we've got Jay and Rick. We're great enough to hold through the break. So let's get to Jay and see what's going on there. Jay, hey, can you hear me? How can we help you?
Hi, Rich. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. I have a sunroom that is tough to keep warm when it starts getting down in single digits like they're calling for tonight.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to ask your opinion on the mini split units that you can install and something like that. You know, mm-hmm. the heating and AC units, good, bad. Do they work well when it gets that cold?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They actually work really well. We use them quite a bit. In installing sunrooms, small room additions, a lot of times we're kind of looking into that versus getting the system from the house out there. But a lot of sunrooms have concrete floors, and there really isn't a way to get the system from the house out there. So yes, mini splits are great for doing that, and they will work really well. We do a lot also that have just like the little infrared heaters that you kind of put in the ceiling, and you can put two or three around the room where you're sitting. Those are okay and can work well at times when they're right over like a seating area and you're hanging out for something. But the mini split is going to be better than those for sure. Okay. It's gonna fill that room up very well.
Yes.
That's I was reading something about when it gets down single digits, it may not have enough warm air outside to pull in, I guess, the heat pump type system.
Well,
that's what my concern was.
So, yes, when it gets down because of the type of systems they are, yeah, when you get into single digits and below, they will have a lot harder time keeping that space comfortable. But they're good for our areas because – our temperature fluctuates a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So next week it's going to be in the 50s
right.
for some times. And right now it's going to be very cold. So those days that you're talking about are kind of broken up. And there's not usually a lot of times that we're in single digits for longer than a week or two straight period of time. Even that's fairly rare. So we usually get enough fluctuation, and our colds are more in the 20s, 30s, rather than 1 or 5 like we're going to see. I think they're predicting 5. It happens, but yeah, in those times it will be a little bit harder for it to keep up with that room.
Okay, perfect. A couple more questions. Does it take a 220 circuit to install that?
Yes.
Or okay.
It
and
does.
Do you need a heating and AC guy to do the final, I guess, hookups for the Freon, or is everything preloaded in those systems?
I could not do it myself. So yes, okay. I think you'll need a heating and cooling guy. I don't have quite enough heating and cooling experience and knowledge to do all that, and it does the air conditioning and everything too. Mm-hmm. So we've always just had our HVAC guy do them. Yep.
Perfect. I'll probably give you guys a call after this then. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Great day.
You too. Appreciate the call and the question. Let's jump over to Rick and see what's happening in Rick's bathroom. What's going on, Rick?
Yeah, I have we changed our tub, and, you know, we just have the little 5-foot shotgun kind of bathroom in our master bath, you know, and so we took the tub out and turned it into a walk-in shower, and it worked out great. The only problem is instead of that concrete board, the 5/8 concrete board, you know, they put in some kind of foam type material. You said it doesn't rot and doesn't do anything, you know, and doesn't wick up the, you know, if there was a leak or anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, fairly new product, he said, and it's worked fine except for where the shower seat is. I put blocking in the wall before they did all this. And so the shower seat is mounted there, and that stuff apparently that is compressing, you know, because my shower seat is hanging down a little lower. The tiles are starting to come loose a little bit and crack right around there. So, you know, is that what's happening, do you think? It's just compressing, and, you know, how can I fix that? I got to replace the tiles and...
Wow, you know,
so in there or whatever, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I'm guessing your shower seat is like a flip down shower seat that's mounted to the wall, like bolted to it.
Right, exactly. Yep. And like I said, I put the blocking in the wall knowing exactly where it was supposed to go and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And so now it's, you know, it's just compressing is all I can explain it as.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we would do, because we do a lot of those flip down shower seats. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen that as a big issue on the bathrooms that we have done. And we put the backing in the wall. We'll do that. So we'll cut some like 2x10s, 2x12s, and
exactly,
you know, put them between the studs, yeah, right where that seat's going to bolt, mm-hmm, and everything. Do you remember the name of the shower wall backing product?
No, I sure don't.
Yeah, because we commonly use one for tile. It's called Weedy, mm-hmm, and it's kind of the same. It's like that. It's like a foam sort of, and I haven't seen that issue. It's got a really hard surface, waterproof surface on top of that. And yeah, so, but if you backed it well and the backing is, you know, nailed and screwed in really good to the 2x4s,
yeah,
and all that, yeah, that's kind of all I can think of why that would be cracking your tile and grout and everything, is if that backing's smashing and thinning because of the weight pushing up against it. And if that's the case, then yeah, I think you are definitely... You're going to have to take that seat off, take tile out, cut out that backing, use a different kind of backing in that area, and then reinstall everything. And the main thing that you're going to want to do, because most of those systems, you're trying to get a whole drainage plane. You're trying to get it to where it's, if water gets in above that and it runs behind the tile, it will get to the bottom. So I would definitely recommend you take out a little bit of tile around it, leave some of that backing that's outside of the seat area so that you could seal the new backing to the old backing where you kind of cut out that square, and seal that really well with a urethane product or something, then install your tile and reinstall the seat and everything. And it does, if your backing's good, then you probably have, yeah, that sounds like that's what's happening. It's compressing.
Yeah. I was thinking, did you, those jacuzzi commercials they have. They have a shower seat that they show that has like a, it's like on a grab bar and it kind of hangs on there. Plus it also sits on the floor too. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it distributes the weight a little better. What I need to have backing in the wall for that, you know, like I said, the mounting bar, whatever it is, it looks like a, you know, a handicap handrail.
I would say if you went to something like that, and if most of your weight is distributed down to the floor, like from legs,
right,
then exactly, you might be able to get, and if it is like a grab bar, you might be able to get those like widgets, they call them. There's mounting brackets for grab bars,
yeah,
that work really, really well. And so you may be able to use them instead of digging into the wall and putting in backing, but I would never use that if it wasn't legs hitting the floor and dispersing a lot of that weight to the floor.
Yeah.
For
okay,
sure.
Okay, well, I'll let you know when I get in there and see if that board really did compress or if my if my blocking moved or something. But I'll let you know, because you know, I don't know that people realize that, you know, maybe a deficiency in that product.
Yeah, and usually the deficiency in that product is more in the fact that if you don't have the backing and you're 14.5 inch between studs, and then you try and mount that seat in the center between the studs, then that backing kind of bows easily because of the distance it's spread, and it's not meant for like that much pressure pushing on it. And that's why we put the backing in. Why you did it. So,
exactly.
So good job getting the backing in. And I appreciate for sure, you know, call and give me an update and let me know how it went and what you found. I would definitely appreciate that for sure. All right, Rick.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I appreciate it. We're going to get into our middle hour break here. We got two full segments left for everybody. 314-436-7900. We'll find me. We'll find Jill. We'll get your questions answered right here today. Having a lot going on. Don't miss out on any more home improvement. Don't touch that dial when we return. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Lot going on today. Again, you can find me and Jill here today, 314-436-7900. Anything about your house, anything about your kitchen, your cabinets, any remodeling, we can go over whatever you need. Again, 314-436-7900. We got Chris on the line. Let's see what's going on with Chris. Hey, Chris, how can we help you?
Hey, good morning, Rich. Hey, or afternoon. No, not quite afternoon yet. Anyway, I guess it is. The question, I had a couple of things. The first one I wanted to mention, I heard the guy call in about the mini split, and it reminded me at this time of year on heat pumps, and most mini splits have heat pumps, that you kind of have to watch the temperature, and when it hits a certain amount, and I'm driving, so I can't Google that temperature, but I think it's around 20 degrees. You actually have to go switch those over to the emergency or bypass setting to have them use strip heat
to
protect the outdoor unit, and two, to be able to have comfort in your house, because they can't pull the heat out of the outside air. As a engineer by trade, this never made any sense, because you'd think they'd just put a sensor outside that would do that automatically, but for some reason they don't.
That would make sense. Hey, I complain the same thing about my car, Chris, is my headlights do not come on automatically, but the car tells me, hey, it's getting dark, turn your headlights on. And I'm like, you know, you could just turn them on. It's the same switch. Like, you're doing the function.
Exactly.
So, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you bringing that up. So what's going on with your water leak?
I'm not sure what's going on. I got a pretty good flow of water going across, coming up out of the ground, going across my driveway. Now, I'm on a well, and I have a water line running over and the location of this doesn't make much sense with respect to the water line from that well. I'm kind of thinking what it might be is that the downspout height might have gotten enough moisture in it from these recent moisture events to where it's flowing up. You know, that thing's broken and clogged and whatever, and it's finally coming up. But I was curious if you had any ideas of the best. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, well, the hard-headed way, or that's not the right word, but it's just to start dig down where the water is and then follow it. But is there any other ideas that you have for tracing back a water leak like that to see if it's the downspout or the water line coming over from the well pit?
So the only other thing I would know is there are like leak detection companies that can find like a gas leak and leaks like that when they're out in the yard, and they can use equipment to try and detect it and see signs. So that would be my only other guess, would be to try and find, I don't remember the name exactly, but it's like American Leak Detection or something. I've seen them used on a couple different projects to find. We've used them for a couple gas leaks where you just can't, you know, the line goes from here to here and you know it's leaking, but you're not sure kind of where, and they were able to use equipment to locate that. So that I would think they could do the same thing with the water, and at least, and if anything, check the water line, and then they kind of go, it's not your water line or something like that. It might be the way that runs.
I actually, one of the ideas I had was just to put a flow meter somewhere in the line and check to see if there was actually flow happening off the well.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I've tried to find one of those for years and I can't come across a good one that's not, you know, hundreds of dollars. So
And maybe, the other thing,
maybe that's what those guys have, is they have something like that. They just might stick it in and say, nope.
Yep. The other thing to consider, if you're thinking maybe it's part of like downspout underground 4-inch drain pipes, having someone come out and camera scope those, kind of like they do underneath your basement floor and everything, and see what that line looks like and if it's dipped or broken or anything like that from the inside of those pipes, they can do that too. So you can.
That's true. Or
one way or the other.
Retaining water.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Retaining water. They'll see it. Yeah. And those lines are very common to retain water and dip down and back up and all of that. So. Yep, I would look into one of those two. Start maybe with the camera scoping. That might be a little bit less, and then if that you don't find anything there, maybe try the leak detection companies. Google them.
Awesome. All right, that was a perfect idea. Thank you, Rich.
Have
a good day.
No problem. You too. Have a great day. I appreciate the call, the question. For everybody out there, too, we're here. We'll have another segment coming up, 314-436-7900. It's going to find us right here. We're going to jump into our last break, and then we'll have more home improvement with Rich and Jill as soon as we get through this break. All right, we are back. Final segment, having a great time. We're going to jump real quick to Shane here and see what's going on with Shane. I think he has a comment to help find our leak. Shane, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
I can. How can you help us?
Oh, I was just going to comment with the feller before. I'm on a well myself, and as long as he's got everything shut off, ice maker and anything else that may run overnight, if his bladder tank's at 70 pounds or whatever, and he loses no water pressure overnight, that's a 90% sure it ain't his water line.
Yeah. That makes good sense. Yeah, no, that's good advice. Hopefully Chris is still out there listening and can check that out. And if you have something that might run overnight, just I would say cut that off you know, turn off the ice maker, whatever, anything that might do that overnight. And yeah, get up and check that pressure in the morning, see if it's the same as it was at night. Cool. Appreciate that, Shane. Awesome advice there. Let's jump over to James and see what's happening there. Hey, James.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How can we help you, sir?
I have a question. I have a property in North St. Louis City that was severely damaged by the tornado.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking at probably just having it torn down, but I was looking for maybe a construction company that has experience in design and build in the city to... Maybe I'm thinking about just rebuild, putting a new structure up.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you could help me with that.
So at Mosby Building Arts, we don't build new construction homes like that. But I see, right. I mean, obviously there's a lot of city homes that, you know, they just tear down and build new, and they're fitting the lots, so they're building the same style. So they're designing them like the similar city home style and everything to fit these lots. Unfortunately, I don't have a name or anybody that I know of that I could give you to follow through with, other than some Google searches on new construction builders that have worked in St. Louis City. I would try to maybe direct a search that way. And then the only other thing I'd recommend is having some really good conversations with them, asking a lot of open-ended questions, and really have them describe, like, how they build, how they protect the house, how do they flash the house, what kind of warranties do they have, just to make sure that you're getting a good builder that's going to back the house, and you're not going to have any issues down the road, because there's still some new construction out there that's not the greatest, and I see brand new houses that have leaks and stuff, and the quality of the builder is a big deal. You can also call and check with the Better Business Bureau and see if they have any recommendations for St. Louis City home builders. That's a good avenue.
What about the Home Builders Association? Would they know have something?
Yeah, they should, absolutely. And just either way, I would go through that qualifying conversations and really try and find out, how they're building and how they're going to help you. So, all right, buddy.
All right,
James.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Appreciate you. So, Jill, we got a few minutes here. Let's try and get into some of this holiday stuff. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I think the biggest thing that I would probably ask you for everybody out there that's thinking about a kitchen, that's they're maybe it's next on their list for next year, going through the holidays, we just had Thanksgiving, now right. Christmas is coming, you're going to have family, guests, all the stuff going. What should they do, or what should they pay attention to, and how can they help out and gather information during all of that to kind of help that kitchen designer like yourself down the road as you're planning that kitchen design?
Oh, that's a great question, Rich. I would give a few suggestions as we get into the holiday season. Well, we've just started it already, but anyway, really look at the workflow, how you use the space that you're currently in. Does it fit your needs? Is there more wishing that you had more space or better workflow? Even look at your pain points. Really look at, what hurts, well, not necessarily hurts the most, but what really is, can affect how you use your space. Do you need more seating area? Do you need more prep area? Do you need more storage?
Yeah. What are people doing when they're there? Where are they?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you do a buffet? Do you have space to lay out the food?
Yeah.
Do you have suitable space for people to walk around to gather the food? Really look at how you're using the space and your storage capabilities. Where you, I mean, if you're prepping all the food, do you have good spice storage? You know, just really look and just do a really good inventory of the things that you love, but also the things you really don't like.
Yeah. And is there storage solutions that kind of help or make a big difference when looking at having a big gathering, a lot of people? Is there solutions that can help during those instances for
in
their kitchens?
Just in general, roll-out trays are fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you can really put a lot of things, a lot of items in there, and it's very accessible. It'll come out to you. Even in your pantry, having roll-out shelves and that, because everything comes out, you can really organize it. As far as I'm going to skip over to your appliances.
Yeah.
Make sure that your appliance situation is kind of what you want it to be. A lot of people love those double ovens because they can make multiple items and cook like a nice turkey or ham.
Yep. I'll tell you what we got when we bought our Bosch range that I thought, oh, that's a cool feature or whatever, but really helps out during Thanksgiving and Christmas and times like that with gatherings is that bottom drawer is a warming drawer.
Oh, yes.
It's not just like that storage that we used to just put all the little cookie trays in.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's a cool feature. And it's great. It really, people come over, they have trays, you stick them in there and it keeps it warm while you're doing all the rest of your stuff. So yeah, there's a lot like that. And I want to remind everybody, we've got, our end of the year sale going on at Mosby. Call in, get online, set your appointment before the end of the year, before the 31st, and get that discount applied to your next project, all projects until the end of the year. Doesn't matter what it is. So, Jill, it was great. I appreciate you having on. We're totally out of time. Thanks for coming in. I hope you had a good time.
I did. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. And for everybody else out there, be good to each other. Be good to your homes. Talk to you next week.